get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a drive into left field. It's now going to stay fair. Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Back on top goal, the Red Sox. Steve Pierce launches one out of here to make it 3-2 Boston.
Steve Pierce is like the Daryl Porter of this team. Just some jabroni that all of a sudden gets like super hot.
Catcher in the for
is it 82 Cardinals.
Okay.
My favorite player growing up.
Daryl Porter?
Yeah, but just because that's the first like thing I remember.
More than Willie McGee and all those other guys?
I'm not sure McGee was on the 82 team.
Okay.
If he was,
he was definitely 85?
85, he won the MVP.
Yeah. Terry Pendleton, all those guys.
Tommy Herr, Jack Clark,
sure.
Vince Coleman. I mean,
right.
You could go around, but let's not make this about the best team in baseball.
Sure. Let's talk Red Sox.
That never won. But Coleman got ran over by the tarp.
Tarp, yeah.
You know things are going your way when you got a guy like Pierce performing how he has performed, and Bradley Jr., a guy who can't hit, coming up huge in two different situations. But you
had one hit with the bases loaded all year, has two in this series.
Yes, I mean these are the things that happen when your team is going to win a series. These are the kinds of things that need to happen.
And I'm so glad all of that happened, because you know what everyone would have been talking about this morning? It would have been the catch that was or was not by Tony Kemp up at the wall. I think that was it Nunez who was up at bat? I saw, I don't know how many close up.
It would have been Pierce who actually hit that one. Yeah.
Was that Pierce? It was Pierce. Okay. So either way, you got Kemp making that amazing jump, and I saw, I don't know how many people on my timeline, isolate the video, zoom in to show whether or not the ball bounced off the wall. And there were people saying, look, conclusive evidence. I still couldn't tell.
I thought he caught it.
He caught it.
There are people who write, like writers, who are saying, look, it bounced off the wall. I'm like, I can't see that. Maybe I'm blind.
Well, I watched it. They had the super slow-mo.
Yeah, they showed
it, like, magnified.
They showed it 5,000 times.
He caught the ball.
I saw all of them everywhere, and I can't tell. But there's people who are convinced. And that's what this morning would have been. The phones would have blown up, and they would have said, we were robbed. That was two runs that the Red Sox should have got. So Bradley Jr.
That would have been fun for about 2 seconds. Now, would you have, at the trade deadline, said Osuna or Eovaldi was more important to their team? If you were looking at it at the trade deadline,
probably Osuna.
You would say Osuna.
Probably Osuna. Yeah.
But look at where we are now. Eovaldi somehow gets tossed around, even though he throws 500 miles an hour.
I had this argument with a good friend of mine. We were texting back and forth during the game. He wants the Red Sox to sign Eovaldi and give him, you know, $90-100 million over 5 years. And my point to him was that Eovaldi is a slightly above average pitcher with amazing velocity that is riding a wave of success.
Well,
he's found it at the right time.
Well, they've also said that he's tweaked some things with his mechanics and he better understands the game, and I believe he's only 28, 29 years old.
That's right, yep.
So I don't know why you wouldn't give Eovaldi money.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Eovaldi is injury-prone, and his entire career, he's had it at times and didn't have it at others. Look at the starts he made for the Red Sox. He's been lights out, brilliant at times, and given up 5 runs in 5 innings other times, and that's basically what his career's been like.
Yes, but there's something that comes with playoff success.
You know, Derek Lowe did that. Derek Lowe was horrible in 04. Horrible the last 2 months of 04. And then he got it rolling in the playoffs. It was brilliant and got a major contract somewhere else and was never the same pitcher again. Not really.
But he left. You know, like that happens a lot if you leave. Look at Renteria. I mean, if you like leave a team, sometimes you get put in a different situation and things don't work out. But that's a debate. Eovaldi now, though, is looking like the best deadline move in baseball.
Now, Pierce isn't far behind that.
So is this going to be tough for you to give Dombrowski any credit for this? I know how much you hate Dombrowski.
No, it's a brilliant trade. I mean, you gave away Jalen Beeks for him. I mean, it's a brilliant trade.
You give him credit for Eovaldi. They hit the lottery with Pierce.
Yep.
I mean, Pierce is never going to do this again. I mean, this is Pierce. No. This is...
There's a reason he's been with every team in the American League East, and including Houston.
He was a triple-A player at the beginning of the season. I mean, I don't think Pierce does this again. But, oh, boy, did Osuna crap himself. I mean, can you use those? When do you use Osuna again? I mean, you got it. You got to trot him out there if you have a lead. Yeah. But do you have any faith? I mean, Osuna lost it. He lost his mind. Mm-hmm. He had two outs.
Yep.
Hitting guys.
No, you're set up for Osuna to close games for you.
Yes.
So he will, at the next opportunity, A.J. Hinch is going to run him right back out there. If Houston has a 4-2 lead entering the ninth inning,
oh, absolutely.
Osuna's going to close for him.
Yeah, and that's going to be nail-biter time if you're an Astros fan. Because, I mean, you want to give Kimbrel crap. I mean, you put Osuna out there. I mean, have you seen a meltdown like that? I mean, just a complete meltdown. That was Ankiel. That was just like he lost it completely.
Yeah,
didn't he have two outs during a good portion of that?
Sure. Yeah, because he got out J.D. Martinez like immediately, and then Bogarts got on base, and I think that Pierce like ended up hitting it, and they got Xander out at second, so Pierce is on first. There's two outs. You're right, and that's when the meltdown truly started. As a matter of fact, I believe it was. Oh yeah. So after that, I've got it right here. Rafael Devers had an 0-2 pitch for a base hit, and Osuna broke after that. Osuna grazed Brock Holt's foot with that 0-2 pitch, which loaded the bases. And then with two strikes, he hits Mitch Moreland on the arm to score a run. And that's when Jackie Bradley Jr. came up. So it was an absolute implosion out there on the mound.
Well, listen, in fairness, he has a 67.5 ERA right now in the playoffs.
and just think, so now they've got that. They're down 2-1. And
they have to win the next two games.
Well, they're not going to because they can't steal signals anymore.
Right.
Because now you've got Captain Obvious.
Verlander in game five. Verlander in game five against the subpar
that, dude,
Chris Sale.
Can you imagine being that jackass for Houston? So you were busted during the ALDS. This is something that we now know, is that during the ALDS, the Indians said, who is this dude standing right by our dugout with his cell phone taking photos? They told Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball told the Astros. And what do you got? Game one, this dude pulls the same thing at Fenway. But when I say this is like a completely non-covert operation, I mean guy is standing right there in the camera well with a cell phone pointed right in the dugout. And you couldn't be any more blatantly obvious. So since then, this guy has, I guess, tried to hide the fact.
He has deleted all connections with the Houston Astros from his Instagram account.
I mean, do you really think that there's any advantage of him taking photos into the dugout?
No. As I said earlier, every major league team tries to steal signs. The problem was he used technology to do it.
I understand.
Which is how the Red Sox got dinged for that Apple Watch thing last year.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to do it. But he's not getting any information out of there.
Listen, all I know is that since this report came out, we're now hearing about the 4 or 5 different incidents over the last calendar year of teams complaining about the Astros stealing signals.
Well, I mean, it obviously didn't work out from the last night. Mike says Fred is an idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I don't know if I exactly said you're an idiot, but I'll stand by that. I don't think you watch baseball other than Red Sox highlights. Steve Pierce used to kill us on a regular basis.
We're going to act like Steve Pierce is going to be a regular on a Major League Baseball team.
No, I'm just saying he used to kill us. So the guy is a good player.
Yeah, and that's why he's had such a sustained Major League career. You're really going to tell me because he's had success against the Red Sox that you had any idea whatsoever that Pierce was going to perform?
No, I'm going to tell you that.
He's 35 years old. He's 30. No, I am not an idiot. He's 35 years old. He was playing in Louisville at the beginning of the season, Mike.
No,
come on.
He's been the best player on every crappy team he's been on.
He's been the best player on every crappy team.
How many years over 300? How many times has he hit over 300 in his career?
How many players on the teams that he's been on have hit over 300?
We're acting like Steve Pierce is good.
He's on the Jays.
Yes.
He's on garbage teams.
You know what happens to good players is they tend to sign deals and stick around and not play in the minors at 35.
All right, 7 major league teams in an 11-year career. How many times has he hit over 15 homers in a career? in a season.
It's not about that.
Yeah, it's absolutely about that.
His stunning personality and good looks.
It's not always about that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, no. Hang on.
This is yours.
All right, okay. Go ahead. All right, so we've established that he can't stick around. We established he started the season at 35 in the minor leagues. We've established that it's not about numbers. What about Steve Pierce makes you think that he is a quality baseball player?
I'm just saying he's killed us on a regular basis. I'd rather have him on this team or out of the league, one or the other, than playing against us.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, okay, he's playing well.
That's all I've been saying this whole time, and I never said you're an idiot, dude.
Well, you should, because it's true. That's right.
Well, I'll stand by it, but I didn't say it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you sparing my feelings.
If you had to guess, how many times has Steve Pierce driven in 50 runs in a season?
I'm going to guess never.
That's correct. In 11 years.
It's
the same thing. Pierce and Eovaldi, they have found their stuff at the right time.
Eovaldi has stuff, and I'm telling you that Steve Pierce, a lot of times, Spike Owen. I mean, there's a lot of times that there's these nobodies.
He's a platoon player. He's not supposed to hit against right-handed pitching. Mitch Moreland got hurt, giving him this advantage, and you know what? Automatically, he started hitting against righties,
and he's played fantastic defense. And I will give him that. He's played fantastic defense at first. And it's a compliment to the Red Sox that they found a nobody journeyman, and now all of a sudden he's one of the hottest players on the team. I mean, the man is incredibly flexible. Some of these stretches he's laying upon his stomach and crotch. Don't watch baseball. How dare you? I watch 162 games a year.
That's one thing you can say about Fred. He watches a buttload of baseball.
That's true.
Games that no one's got any business watching. Well, Fred's watching them.
I like baseball. I like it more than football. How about that? But Steve Pierce, this argument. Please.
Someone else wants to go gladiator style against you on Steve Pierce.
I got one other thing. Can I have one other stat before this guy goes gladiator on you? His career stats against the Red Sox in 53 games, he's hitting .222.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the hell he did against the Red Sox.
He's come up with a couple of hits, but .222.
I got to be honest with you.
205 at bats.
If you would have asked me a year ago where Steve Pierce was, I would not have been able to tell you.
Well, it's one of six other places. I can run them down for you if you'd like.
Please do. I know he was in Louisville at the beginning of the season. All right. More people want to yell at me. We'll have that for you.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a drive into left field. How we're going to stay fair. Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Back on top go the Red Sox. Steve Pierce launches one out of here to make it 3-2 Boston.
All right, it's the Steve Pierce show. Everyone wants to talk about Steve Pierce.
Who, of course, has been excellent
this season. He's been excellent this postseason. Yeah. I contend that he's a jabroni that's very hot right now. Andrew, go ahead, sir.
So who would you say is better, Mitch Moreland or Steve Pierce?
I say Mitch Moreland has had a better career.
Wrong. Mitch Moreland has a 7.7 career WAR. Steve Pierce has a 10.2 career WAR.
All right, can I tell you
for
this?
Every 162 games.
Okay, can I tell you this?
It's the intangibles.
Okay, no, Steve Pierce is at one time in his career played over 100 games. And I will give you the 2012.
Don't let him play 100, more than 100 games.
Huh?
So it's the other organizations keeping him down, the organizations that continue to trade him and let him go for nothing?
They could be. I don't know.
Okay, so the Pittsburgh.
I think the value for the money that he gets paid, he's a better player than Moreland, and he's a perfect platoon. I'm not saying he's like an all-star first baseman.
No, but Mitch Moreland was an all-star first baseman this year.
Well, that's pretty terrible because Mitch Moreland should never be an all-star first baseman.
All right, so you're saying
okay.
Look, I'm not in love with Moreland either, but listen, so you're saying Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Yankees, the Astros,
Toronto,
Baltimore, Tampa Bay. Listen, I will give you this. In 2014, I can't believe I'm looking up these statistics. He played 102 games and he had a WAR of 6, and he hit 21 home runs. So I will give you that in 2014, in limited use, Steve Pierce was well above average.
But he's not a jabroni. He's a good player. He's a good platoon player.
Okay, after that, he had negative 0.4 war, 0.1, 2.2, 2.30,
1.2,
0.3, 1.4.
This is my job. I find this very sexy.
And by the way, these wars are like 92 games, 76 games. I mean, he's a jabroni. He's a
platoon player.
He's 35. He's a vagabond.
And he was a platoon player until Mitch Moreland tweaked his hamstring.
Yeah, Andrew. Take that.
Love those stats, baby.
I like how people relate to numbers.
Yes, indeed.
Give me more stats.
Mm-hmm. Ed, go ahead. Ed.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Steve Pierce is Johnny Gomes.
Without the love of America.
They brought him in. They brought him in to be a right-handed hitter against left-handers.
Yeah.
He's gotten his chance, and he's taken advantage of it.
That's it.
You know what? You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. He's Johnny Gomes.
Well put.
And, you know, I heard that other guy mention war. I mean,
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of saber metrics, and there's a lot of numbers and stuff. You know, the whole war stat, you know, but when you go to playoffs, you know, it's you want me to go to war with, you know.
Right.
So, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
Yes, it is, baby. You know what he is? He's Hacksaw Stevie Pierce. But you know what? In all honesty, he's right. I mean, that's kind of almost comparable to what Johnny Gomes was, and that's what Steve Pierce.
Yes, he's. You know, I'm complimenting the organization.
No, without a doubt,
they have a guy.
They
who's
traded
a journeyman,
minor league infielder for him during the season.
Who's a journeyman who is looked upon as a platoon player that has been forced into a situation.
Dan just said he's the Daniel Tice of this team.
Oh God! Here comes
Don't knock Tice
off. I know. Here we go.
Tice was a powerhouse until he got injured.
I'm now done with my Steve Pierce conversation.
All depends Tice the day I die.
Yeah, but
well, what's up, Vanilla Tice?
A worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so...
By the way, I can't stop. I'm fascinated now by this jackass who was stealing signals. Like, this, I just posted the picture. That picture of him, like, standing right in front of the dugout with the cell phone, like, filming him during the Indian series, is hysterical. He's like the kid I knew in elementary school who thought he could turn invisible. You can't see me!
Yeah, he's holding something. What is he holding up in front of his phone so no one can see it? He's just standing there holding...
It's like he's behind some like camera thing.
Yeah, it's a sure on it. So it's either a camera
hiding,
or a microphone thing.
But he's
the guy's like 6 feet tall. He's like standing like right there with the camera. Like, how did you not see this guy immediately? And they were warned about that's the best part is that during the last series, the ALDS, he was busted. Yet he did it again, just like a jackass, in apparently the same spot. He was doing it from the camera well.
I don't know what I mean. Nothing's going to come of it.
Well, I don't know. You made a good point this morning, Wallach, which is a rarity, so I remembered it. You said that, you know, when the Apple Watch thing happened with the Red Sox, and remember, Farrell was all indignant about it, they did say any use of technology from this point on will be severely punished. Now,
yes.
Does it matter in the long run? No, it doesn't. I do. They apparently find it valuable if they were ballsy enough to, after getting punished for it during the last series, trying it all over again. So I'm not going
to... Well, Dan reminded me when we had Heyman on, they said the Red Sox should lose a first-round pick.
Let's
get Heyman on the line. How should Houston be punished, John?
Out of all of the cruddy sports opinions that we've ever had on the show, and many of them have come from me, that's the all-time worst, is that Heyman actually thought that you should take away... How many wins? It was every win against the Yankees.
Yes, that's right.
For that season,
every win against the Yankees.
Which was
maybe Houston should have forfeit the NLCS.
Maybe they do that,
and then they just move right to the World Series.
Just standing right there.
Well, around 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, if Boston happens to win, you can enjoy the World Series because, regardless of Verlander ultimately winning a Game 5. It is going to be over.
By the way, one quick message. Sale will pitch against Verlander in Game 5. He's going to throw a bullpen today. And they asked Alex Cora after the game yesterday, you know, had he talked to Sale? You know, what are his prospects for game five? And Cora said to the media, Sale told me he was good enough.
Yep.
Oh, man.
They're not winning a game five.
He's good enough.
No, they're not winning game five.
Okay. Fred, line one, potential to be what I think it's going to turn into.
Okay.
Maybe like 50%.
All right, John, go ahead.
Hey, I think you're being a little hard on this guy. I mean, he was the lead singer for Rat. And I mean, let's face it, he doesn't suck like Sarge.
Ah! Uh-huh.
By the way,
we got a double up there. By the way,
do yourself a favor and go to MetalSludge.com or Google Metal Sludge. And they have footage of a recent Rat show where Stephen Piercy is about as wasted as a human being can be. He's just, like, falling down.
Was he playing at the same place that I saw Corey Feldman play up in, where was that? Up, just north of Haverhill.
Haverhill, Mass.
Double Barrel?
Yep. He was playing in, like, Arcadia, Illinois or something, but there's, like, a fat guy in the band now. Rich, we have the stat coming up. What are we going to talk
about?
Well,
they finally revealed how Roseanne was killed off of her own show, and Kevin Garnett completely rules and doesn't care if he swears constantly on television.
All right, we'll have all that. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Kutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stat.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
After all of the anger and outrage over a guy throwing a couple sips of beer on Tyreek Hill after this Sunday night's game, guess who's not even upset about it? How about Tyreek Hill? He was interviewed yesterday and asked about what happened, and he said, my coach told me don't get emotional, don't get mad about it, it comes to territory, you know, and to be quite honest, I'm not mad at all. So that was the end of the conversation. He says he's not even upset. However, he does have his super agent, Ken Rosenthal, or as the reporter said yesterday, Ken Rosenbaum, just to kind of throw out there a random name that he wanted to press charges. Now, this guy obviously has been found. I think his name's out there somewhere. So, scold! How dare you get that letter and disinvite? You will never be allowed back into Gillette Stadium until, of course, you are, which would be, I'm sure, anytime you want to go. Well, Kevin Garnett, we love having him on the NBA on TNT. It's a nice addition that they've got. He's got his own Area 21 that he does where he just kind of says whatever he wants. Well, yesterday, KG was being asked about the situation with Jimmy Butler and what's going on with the Timberwolves. And as you know, Kevin Garnett's got a little bit of experience being a member of the Timberwolves and also wanting to go to possibly a different team, as he did with the Celtics. He was asked about the owner, Glenn Taylor, and how things have been handled.
Both of you guys have kind of did it the same way, but differently. You're like, there's no confusion that he doesn't want to be there at that time or be there in that way. And you, at times, I remember having that role of saying, man, do I continue my career here or do I allow myself to go to Boston?
I totally understand him. I totally get it. And he's dealing with Glenn, who doesn't know about basketball.
Glenn Taylor.
I think
we weren't concerned about that.
Okay, and then it almost sounds like they panicked and tried to move on from that. But I do like how Kevin Garnett just straight up says that on TV. And by the way, it was not beeped out on television. So tisk, tisk, tisk to Kevin Garnett. I do like that segment, though. I think Area 21 was a smart idea.
I thought it was very painful for him to leave Minnesota.
Well, see, that was the thing, is I thought there was this like huge love between him and the organization.
Yeah.
He went back there at the end.
Was it the same owner when he was there? I don't know. I don't know the history of the ownership of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but maybe it's a different guy than he dealt with when he was part of the organization.
I would have to imagine.
You would think so. I don't know if he would talk that way, because I know he's got a fond place in his heart for the Timberwolves. Well, John Gruden is just getting his ass kicked left and right. He is 1-5 right there. 1-4? 1-5? 1-5, yeah. After this weekend, he's now 1-5 with all of the garbage that's been happening that started with the trading of Khalil Mack, who, by the way, is hurt, and there's a chance we might not see much of him against the Patriots this weekend. But it sounds like John Gruden is kind of someone who I admire. Think of the situation he's in, Fred. So he's 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
His team's losing.
Right.
The world hates him.
And why does he care? He's got a 10-year contract.
Nine and a half years and $95 million left
right.
on a contract.
For $10
right.
million dollars a year. So when he does his press conference, and it was actually Will Brinson who kind of pointed something out that made me think about this. Like, it's like the world is crumbling around him, and he's just, you know, like Nero playing the fiddle as Rome burns. Like, he's just, none of this really matters to him. And I love the way he's answering his questions. Because he doesn't care. What's anyone going to do other than just lose? He's still going to get paid.
Yeah. I mean, it shows you he has a little lacking in a little pride.
Sure.
But nonetheless, if you're dealing with Mark Davis, you probably not the hardest guy. He's a guy that's probably still playing three-card Monty on the street.
So quarterback Rashad Melvin, he was tweeting his frustration with not getting enough playing time. And Gruden was asked about that. He goes, well, I haven't talked to him yet. And I'm not sure I will. He said, I heard there was a Twitter report out there. You know, Melvin's on his seventh team, I think. He's had different techniques. Maybe he's confused. I don't know. I'll talk to him. But he's got to play better. He's in a competitive situation. Perhaps he's frustrated, and I can't blame him. I just like the first thing out of the box is, you know, Melvin's on his seventh team, I think.
Yeah.
In other words,
he's good.
His problem, mine.
Yeah, I'm the GM, but or technically, I guess he's not. But he, for all purposes, I guess he is.
And he was asked, are there any decisions that you regret? And he goes, sure, I regret some of them. I got a list of things I regret. Sure you do, too. Unless you're perfect. I don't know. I don't think any of us are perfect. We're trying. We're trying hard. I'm not going to never throw the ball on first and goal again. All my friends in the league do it. So he just doesn't care. It's kind of funny watching a guy who just really has nothing to lose other than, you're right, his pride, sit there and just go, yell at me all you want.
Yeah.
I'm paid for 10 years.
Good for Mark Davis. Good for Mark Davis.
Oh, it's great for Mark Davis.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a buddy he can hang out with for the next decade.
That's right. He's going to wear all white.
We're just like
he
does.
Going to be the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lobby. it looks like the TripAdvisor has come out with the 10 best U.S. pizzerias in the country.
Pizzeria!
At number one, right
is
here.
Is Mark Gemelli's in
the North End.
North End, Massachusetts.
All the meatballs.
Yeah, all the meatballs were gone.
Does
yeah.
he make pizza?
What's that?
No, he does not make pizza.
He does not make pizza?
Mark Gemelli.
Really?
No, too much carbs. Doesn't like that.
Well, he lives right around the corner from the place that ended up getting number one on the list of all around the country, and that is Regina Pizzeria right there in the North End. Now, what I thought was kind of funny was that I saw Big Jim Murray tweet this and say that Regina Pizzeria wasn't any good. And to that, the official Regina Pizzeria account tweeted him and said, maybe we can give you some free pizzas in order to change your mind. And to that I say, hey, maybe I'll insult your food and get some free pizzas out of it. What the hell is that kind of logic?
Yeah. I mean,
I like Regina Pizzeria. Give me pizza.
I don't even think I've been there.
Oh,
really?
It's really good.
It's really very good pizza.
Is it the best? I mean, it's not the best I've ever had, I don't think, but
so
it's
excellent.
So you
say if we bring it up enough, maybe they'll give us free pizza?
No, you have to crap on it enough, apparently.
Oh, is that
like
the problem?
Not
compliment
did.
How good it is.
I hate Little Caesars pizza. Wink.
I love Little Caesars. Like, that's one of those things that just, I had so much when I was a kid.
Same with me.
Because it was so cheap that to this day, just taking a bite of it, it brings me back.
Do you see the new technology they have on the TV there for Little Caesars?
Yes, I have seen
you
that.
Order the pizza and they stick it in this like this warm place, and you put in a code and you get it.
It's like having an Amazon locker for your pizza.
Yeah. Like, so you don't have to interact with any human.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
But it's just like, hey, we're in this warming. Like, they don't even attempt to act like they've made it fresh. Like, there's not even, like
you don't know when it went
not,
in.
Yeah, there's, like, not even the illusion that they made this to order. They're just like, hey, it's been sitting in a warmer for God knows how long. I just thought that was the funniest thing to see that.
I like that.
Sure, I mean, it's not, but I mean,
everyone loves buttons and not having to speak to people.
Yeah, but wouldn't you just want the illusion that they're in back, like, making it.
What, do you
it.
Think that you've got, like, you know, these super chefs back there?
Yes.
Like, tasting the sauce, going, like, whoa, like, too salty. No.
Like, juggling the dough and everything.
Right, it's like Ratatouille.
Yeah. Yeah. They got mice working the guy.
I mean, who knows if that's the case. All right, so the big debut of the Connors was last night. The first episode of Roseanne Without Roseanne.
That John Goodman has lost a lot of weight.
Yep.
He 100 really pounds?
Has. Oh, more than that.
150?
When was he the biggest? You thinking like King Ralph era?
Yeah, that sounds about right. But I saw him do a talk show. It's either Kimmel. I think it was Kimmel.
I was there.
Oh, that's right. You were there that night.
Mm-hmm. When Roseanne was on, yeah.
When Roseanne was actually, he did a solo. I'm talking about recently. He did it solo to promote the fact that the Connors are going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't recognize him.
Well, they revealed how she died.
The autopsy found that it wasn't a heart attack. Roseanne OD'd on opioids.
Not possible. We knew she had a problem. She was only on pain pills for 2 days after surgery. Then it was just ibuprofen. It's got to be wrong.
Well, I wish it was, but they think that she must have taken the pills right before bed, and with her health issues, it was enough to stop her breathing.
Wait, what? Mom overdosed?
It doesn't make any sense. I got her knees fixed. I flushed all her pills.
Oh, my God. I found these pills in Mom's closet.
Well, these aren't even prescribed to her. She got them from Marcy Bellinger.
And to that, David Ortiz walked in and said,
down, down, down.
Yeah, it's an eerily like your Brady Bunch episode where they found cigarettes in Greg's jacket.
Or that's the Uppers episode of Saved by the Bell?
No,
they didn't find anything
there.
Did
he say I'm so excited?
You just saw the fallout from the taking.
She was addicted to caffeine pills.
Right, right.
What's great is that Roseanne spoiled that death. Like 2 months ago, she goes, yeah, it's going to be opioid abuse. They're going to kill me off that way. And then I guess last night she was tweeting, I'm not dead!
Good, because we never would have figured that out.
I do like the fact that they just completely ended any chance that she would possibly return.
Well,
like any redemption.
They killed off Goodman, and he's back.
That's a good point.
That's a decent point. How did John Goodman die in the? I never watched Roseanne.
It was a look back. It turned out what the last.
Is that truly how it happened?
Well, yeah. He farted himself to death. No, they.
It was a look back. It turns out, like the last six episodes, that it happened.
Like two seasons.
Oh, last two seasons
were
it was
Roseanne's imagination. Right. And then, God,
how did he die?
Hey! Get the doc. I'm farting too much. Choking on my own gas and methane. Please. Don't light a match in here. You blow off your eyebrows because I farted too much. Stains in my undies. Stains in my undies. Please call the police. I need to stop. Cork me up because I'm about to blow. I'm gonna die. And this is not the way I want. Please roll down the car window. We're gonna suffocate if you don't. We're gonna suffocate. It ain't no joke. I got super bad gas.
You didn't quite stick the landing there, but you got close.
I didn't think you'd go on that long. That's impressive.
This is why the show is so popular with older people.
Speaking their language.
Just constant fart and poo humor.